When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
PT and Sal back on the Fan. All right, Sal, we are joined by our buddy Jonathan Casillas, former Giant, and he lets it rip pre and post every week, part of the Giants broadcast team. And Jonathan, the Giants got absolutely rolled. We went through this, of course, you know this. How long would you wait before pulling the plug on Daniel Jones?
Well, I think you got to give him at least one more game, and so be it, the Commanders, where Daniel Jones has actually had pretty good games again throughout his career. So this is like, you know, I would say a couple of games in if you asked me before the season the same question. But now it's like after that performance in week one, if he doesn't play well in the Commanders game, it's like, all right, what are we doing here?
Well, I disagree. I mean, what you're doing is you're playing the guy who you gave a ton of money to. Now, listen, he's not perfect. We all know that. I don't think option number one behind him, Locke, is the real answer. I don't think it's DeVito, with all due respect, even though he's from here and I'm rooting for him. I don't think he's that guy. I mean, I think that Daniel Jones has earned the right to at least shed the rust and learn how to trust his knee and get used to some new weapons before. Because, Jonathan, once you bench him, he's banished for good, man. That's it.
I agree with you, but this is my thing, right? You look at the first four games. You look at the scheduled quarters, right? And now it's the extra game at the end, which I love because it ends up being some incredible matchups in that last week, you know, to slate the whole playoffs. And I love the whole thing. But quarters is, you know, you break the season up to quarters. It's the first quarter. And you look at the first quarter, you look at the first two games, you're like, okay, those are very winnable games. Nobody knew Deshaun Watson wasn't going to be him anymore, you know, so that game is looking more like a winnable game. But then the Cowboys, they're rolling as they do every season at the beginning of the season. They're rolling. And if you have poor quarterback play the first 3 weeks and you manage to go 0-3, when the Giants come back at home on Thursday Night Football, they will boo him as soon as he gets in the game. They're not going to wait for him to throw a bad pass. So that's the only thing I'm thinking about in terms of when the Giants play back home after the next 2 weeks they're away. Like, what is that reception going to be? You know what I mean? It's gonna, you know, our fans here. Like, I was at the stadium. It was amazing. Oh, my gosh. The pregame was amazing. The ceremony was amazing. The Giants did a really, but the product on the field did not match up.
Yeah, but it wasn't just Daniel Jones. It wasn't just Jones. Now, I know you could bench one quarterback, and it's tougher to bench 10 other guys. But, I fundamentally disagree with what you're saying here. If you run the operation based on what you think the fans are going to do, what are you doing?
No. I'm just saying, like, that's just how it's going to be, like, received. And it's like, if it's like that, I'm telling you, it's not always about the fans. It's about the temperature. It's about feeling how it is, right? Everybody's okay with allowing some mistakes in week one. So that's why there's not too many people out there saying you need to get rid of him week one. Because if you put that performance, what he did, and if you, not even the numbers, I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm talking about how he looked. He didn't look like he was ready. And that's a very scary situation because I've seen Daniel Jones in the past play poorly. But he never played like that. It was a different thing that I've never seen before. You know, easy passes thrown in dirt, behind, timing was off. Just like, and it was like, yeah, I'm used to kind of some decision making that was questionable.
Yep.
But the ball placement, which was like, it was absolutely horrendous. And then you expect drops, but not that many drops. You expect penalties, but not that many penalties. Like the Giants kind of like, it's like they make it worse. It's like, yeah, we expect a couple mistakes, but not every drive. Like, every drive on offense, they made multiple mistakes, penalties, drops. It was just, it was very hard to watch. Yes, you can't blame it all on Daniel Jones, but you know what? When things are rough for other teams and nobody can play right, the ball, you know, fumbles are happening, nobody can hold on to the ball, the quarterback gets them settled, he makes the plays to get them down the field and get some points on the board. Daniel Jones was only able to do that twice with two field goals, and both of them were short fields.
Yeah, Daniel Jones looked awful, and I'm not looking to bench him. I'm not even talking about long-term, Jonathan. I feel like I know what Daniel Jones is. I'm curious, though, and now we know what you think. Obviously, we know what BT's think. What do you think Brian Daboll will do if, now this is a hypothetical, of course, but let's just say that Daniel Jones in the first half in Washington on Sunday looks like he did week one. Do you think, at least in the short term, Daboll will yank Jones from that game to try to create a spark or go with, you know, Drew Lock and see what he could provide if Jones is struggling the way that he did in week one?
I got a feeling, guys, that he's going to let it ride. I think Daboll going to let it ride no matter what it looked like. And it could get real nasty. I think he's going to let it ride. Look, and I'm just trying to put myself in Daboll's shoes, you know, not as me, but as him, because he's a different type of personality. You can see how he handled the media this week. I love how he talks to the media because, like, it's comical. You know, like, he gets asked about Daniel Jones specifically, and he puts it on a team, which I love. But then you ask him about Jaden Daniels, and he has, like, the most intricate, detailed explanation on his skill set. And it's amazing to see. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know how long everybody's going to get away with all of the things that we're doing here in New York. You know what I mean? Like, it's I've been around. I was around as a young kid. With Kerry Collins and before Tom Coughlin got there and Fossil was here, and it was like the Giants coaches were always on the hot seat, even the years that they won Super Bowls. So it's not like that's out of the norm. You know what I mean? Like, this is not like strange territory, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's interesting to see what happens next, because it's a chess move in terms of, are you winning games? Do you have the right quarterback? What do you say to the media? Do you actually believe in him? Like, those are all questions that I'm sure that everybody's asking. And even Daboll is probably asking himself, too. So it's a funny situation. And, like, guys, I told you I had to take my emotions out of it, expectations all the way down. And I'm not sad this week. I'm just very entertained about what's going on. And I was, like, a little nervous about this conversation because I was like, I don't want to say anything crazy and get myself fired. Because we all saw what we saw.
Yeah.
We all saw that. You know, it's like, all right, so let me just
be
careful.
Well, they did it. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. Yeah. They did it. I mean, they're the ones who went out there and laid the egg. I mean, yeah. You weren't playing. Now, here's what I would ask you, though, Jonathan, before we move on to maybe Washington and what they have in store here for week two. We watch this offense. I do believe in Brian Daboll as being a good head coach. We saw him have success even with Daniel Jones as a quarterback. They bring in Malik Nabers. Whose fault is it? Who? And I'm not looking to, you know, rail on somebody here, but is this on Daboll? Is it all on Jones? We were told the offensive line was better. We know about the weapons that they have, and they still cannot move the football at a level that you would expect an NFL team to do that. Does Daboll need to take more of a hit? Is this just on quarterback play? What do you think is the main reason for the Giants' offensive struggles consistently?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, guys, it's clear. It's blatant. It's the quarterback play. It's the play at quarterback, right? Look, Daniel Jones, I think he earned his contract because it's all about timing in the NFL with contract. That's why Dak just got that big deal. You couldn't not give him the deal because he's been stacking up years and years of really just, like, good, really good seasons. Just very good passing yards, not that many interceptions. Well, he had 1 year of high interceptions where he, like, had led the league. But, like, touchdowns was there. Like, offense was always prolific, top 10 every single year, and he had to get paid that much money. Daniel Jones won the first playoff game in 10 years for the Giants, and the timing was right. He got passed up on for the fifth-year option, and the timing was right. But now it's like, all right, what do we do now? Because he can't continue to play like that because the Giants will not win a game, guys. Like, what they did on last week, what they did that whole game, not even the first half, what they did, because the complimentary football wasn't there, mind you. They signed Gunnar Olszewski. They made sure they had a good punt returner. He gets hurt pregame. They put Slayton in because he's a reliable guy, but it ended up being like the last few years where you fumble on special teams. Sure. And now defense, we're expecting a lot from the defense, like we all are. Bro, I was at the 100th, the ceremony. I watched it from the press box. It was magnificent. You know who they did last? The linebackers. You know why? Because defense is everything in New York. It's everything. And the defense, I wouldn't say they didn't show up, but they didn't play the dominant ball that they need to play with a struggling offense. And they're capable of doing it. Yeah. But we didn't see the guys that we've seen play at high levels at times. We didn't see them play like that last week.
Well, that was the most frustrating part for me.
Now,
Kayvon didn't show up. And Kayvon, I got to be honest with you, we really spent a lot of time on this because they played so poorly. His post-game reaction, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he was asked a very good question, and he dismissed it and scoffed at the reporter. Dude, this is year three. You're good, not great. You're one-dimensional. I thought that was out of bounds for a young kid still trying to earn some stripes. What was your opinion on that?
I laughed because I'm right there. So you know, in the press box, I'm getting all of those interviews in the middle of us talking. You know, so we're actually bringing in the interviews and reacting to right after the comments, and I'm just like, yo, like these guys. I think it was Jordan Renan that asked that question, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
He was like, anybody else, and he dismissed them. And then even Dexter. Like, listen, the guys are frustrated, and they're frustrated in week one.
After one game?
Yes, of course. That's what you're hearing.
I mean, how fragile are they?
Nah, I don't think it's fragile. I just think that the guys love the game so much, and they want to win. And it just looks like winning is not that, I wouldn't say easy, because they know it's not easy, but it's like, it's a lot more difficult than they thought. And I don't know if they're saying like it's because of one person, like everybody else is, but they might be feeling that. And that's a bad feeling to have. That's a really bad feeling to have.
I'm going to give Kayvon Thibodeau the benefit of the doubt for what he said. I don't care what he said in the post game, if it's sensitive, if it's not, if he had an issue with the question. What I care about is him showing up on game day. And he didn't do enough of that, clearly, on Sunday, week one. He's going to have to do that week two. And not just him, obviously everybody else. But I do believe in Brian Burns. I think he's a beast. Even in that game, you could see that he's a beast. He just got, look, I mean, the Vikings offensive line handled the Giants. Can they, Jonathan, handle what I believe to be a team? And I watched some highlights of Washington and Tampa Bay. I know they get squashed by Tampa, but Washington can move the football. Daniels is a dual threat. Robinson's a good back. Eckler, they have some receivers.
McLaurin. Yep.
Zach
Ertz is there.
Can, in your opinion, Jonathan, as a defensive guy, can the Giants be able to put pressure on Daniels and also prevent Daniels from getting outside the pocket and breaking big runs on them? Because I think this game's going to come down to defense for the Giants.
Yeah, it must come. Every game for the Giants is going to come down to the defense until Daniel Jones figures out how to play quarterback again. Like, that's the bottom line. Because, look, they got rid of a generation of running back. I'm sorry to say it. He proved it on Thursday or Friday night in Brazil to all the fans that didn't know who Saquon Barkley was in South America. You're welcome, because he looked phenomenal, you know. And it's like you move on from him and you go with Daniel Jones. And I was all for it, guys. You know, I was all for it. But I'm like, the proof has to be in the pudding, and let's see what he does. 2023 was abysmal, and now the first game of the 2024 season, we're all trying to just figure out who Daniel Jones really is, and he's proven something different. So, like, as of right now, if he doesn't improve his play, the defense has to be dominant, or the Giants won't survive. They won't. Like, guys, it was so uncompetitive. They were the stands were empty at the end of the third. It was hard. It was hard again. And we were talking about how hard it was last year. It was like it was last year, and they were booing early. I don't think they ever booed that early last year. Maybe the Dallas game. I don't know. But it was really hard to be a part of. And I think, look, the defense was the one that made the plays early in the game to get the crowd louder than I've heard them in years. And I was so excited, and then it quickly dudded out because of a sputtering offense that can't move the ball, that can't hit receivers. The ball's on the ground. They're getting penalties. They're getting holding calls. It's like almost the same old, same old. And look, the defense has to play at a high level, and they have the guys to do it. But the first thing I said after the game, guys, I said Kayvon didn't have a stat.
No.
That's the first thing I said.
Well, he didn't have a stat. He had one.
He had a pressure. Yeah,
no,
think,
he
right?
had a stat.
A pressure.
He had a stat. He had one flare-up in the post-game scrum.
And he had a penalty too.
I know.
And like, look. I've been a part of penalties. Some of them, you know, are like bang bang plays. But when you don't do too much in the game and you have a penalty,
yeah,
like you got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, all right, how do I get on the stat board? How do I make an impact on this game and not negatively? You know, and that's just man to man. Like, looking at yourself, that's something you have to do. I played this game long enough to understand that everybody has good games, bad games. But when you're playing on the defense or the offense that's struggling, you literally can't afford to do that. Like, it's very costly to do that.
So it's Jonathan Casillas, of course, former Giant, couple of years here, broadcast team, pre and post show every Tuesday with us here, BT and Sal on the Fan. This is the last thing for me, and I didn't even, just the way you describe things, I didn't even think I was going to go here, but I have to. The way I hear you talk, the way I hear what LT said, Phil, Carl Banks, like, it's one thing, sometimes, like, you could be apathetic toward a situation, sometimes you could just be angry. What I'm hearing from all these Giants legends, you're saying it today, it's almost like sadness, like, you're embarrassed of where the Giants are. Is that a misrepresentation? It sounds that way.
It's rough, guys. it's rough. You know, I'm a people person, and I know a lot of people, you know, not just Giants people. You know, and being in this region, Philadelphia fans and Dallas fans are all over the place. I feel like they're pitying me right now.
Oh boy.
I don't like that feeling. You know what I mean? But like I said, I've turned my emotions down. I've cut my expectations all the way off. And now I'm just sitting here trying to analyze. And like I said, it's entertaining to me to see the post-game interviews. It was like, because I've been there before. Like, I know that feeling. I wouldn't say what he said, but I know that feeling. You know what I mean? And now I'm in a funny position because I'm not too far removed from the players. You know, like, I was a player not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I was doing interviews like that not too long ago. But this was the most discouraging thing, guys. When the defense made a stop late in the game, they just kind of walked up the field with their head down. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. And I said that in the postgame. I'm not, you know, saying anything new. I said that in the postgame because somebody asked about what do you do on film. And it's like, it's not even about the film. It's not about the film. It's the stuff that film does not get. The film doesn't get you walking between the huddles. It doesn't get that. It only gets the play.
Yeah.
I saw some stuff between the huddles that were very alarming. It's not good. And it can change because it's early. But
whoa, how is that not on the coach?
Well,
I mean, well, what?
I mean, I think it is. Let's
talk about it. Well, I don't know what's going on in between the huddles. I mean, but if they're not focused, I mean, it's week one. What kind of camp did you run? How is this team not ready to play?
Yeah, listen, it's on the coach, but it's on every single player in that locker room. It is. It has to be. Bro, this is a talented roster in terms of players here and there, right? You have some stars, some studs. Did you see what Dexter Lawrence did in the game?
Yeah, he was a beast.
He's the man. He's awesome.
Did he not show that he's probably the best defensive player in the league?
He's a beast.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, we're about to kill these guys. But then this is the thing. There are certain positions.
And then Daniel Jones sat down on the field.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But listen, there are certain positions, like defensive tackle, where you can actually double-team him and cause hell for him. Even with that, he still was splitting double teams, which is crazy. But, like, you can kind of do things that go away from him, which they did. They didn't try to go up the middle. They tried to run up the middle the first play of the game. That got stopped. Like, and then he sacks your quarterback because your center or guard or anybody on the line cannot block him one-on-one. And then they start switching it up. So that's where Kayvon Thibodeau shows up. That's where Brian Burns shows up. That's where, you know, Pinnock shows up. All of the guys that are playing and that are fitting into these run fits, where are you guys at? Because Dexter Lawrence is taking up two. He's taking up two. So it's for me, it gets worse as game goes on if your defense doesn't believe that your team can win. Yeah. If you think that your team can win, you will play beyond the fourth quarter. You will play till, like, they say, all right, guys, you lost or you won. The game's over. All right. I'm not saying the guys quit, but the energy level matters. All right. Remember 2016? That was the pretty good year for the Giants. Went to the playoffs. The boat trip happened. Yeah. Boston, Green Bay, blah, 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 blah. Picks, and he was fumbling the ball. And I love Eli, like we all do. And I think he can win us games, so I never not believed in him. But when he would fumble, the defense used to get up and yell and run on the field. Maybe it was just me. I might have been the only one doing it. But I felt like other guys were doing it too. I felt like we got to match what this defense is doing. If the defense got two fumbles, we got to get three. You know what I mean? Like, it was things that you have to do. And if you be like, oh, my God, again, like literally, like it'll just take the energy from the sidelines. And if you don't allow that to happen, and that's me being a player, that's why I cannot put it on the coach, because I did it personally. Like I personally did that. So I'm not going to put it on the coach, because at the end of the day, he can't play it down. It's on the players. They have to do it. And they have the, I think they have a great locker room. I just feel like the pressure is on them right now, and they're not handling it correctly. And I'm going off of the, some of the things that they said in the media and just kind of how the body language was later in the game. And for me, that was the most discouraging thing. It wasn't about the X's and O's. It was about that.
You know, maybe the only thing that looked good on Sunday was your fit, Jonathan, as you rolled up to MetLife wearing an LT. I've never seen this before. Black Lawrence Taylor throwback jersey.
Drippy. That's
pretty, yeah, black. I've never seen a big blue jersey in black. I usually like the white myself. You get LT to sign that, Jonathan?
Nah, you know what? I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't make more of an effort to be around the guys, because I had to work, yeah. You know, and I had to be upstairs the whole time, and I don't bounce around to like suites or anything like that. I'm locked into the game, and I'm like, man, and not even to get the jersey signed, just to be around greatness. Like at the end of the day, guys, let's be real about this. The Giants legends are absolutely top tier, top tier legends, quarterback position, linebacker. I mean, JPP was there. He's honored, and they went crazy standing next to Justin Tuck, O.C. Amanyura, George Martin. Like, bro, these are, like, legends. Like, and it was so cool just to be in the stadium, and then the game came on, and then...
reality happened.
That's what makes it more painful, the great history. 100-year anniversary, you get that slop week
Happy
one.
Anniversary!
Oh, that was terrible.
Hey, Jonathan, great spot, man. Really great spot. Hopefully this thing turns fast, otherwise I think we could have a few more of these conversations, but hopefully not. Go and go take care of the Commanders. We'll get you back up next Tuesday. Thank you, brother.
All right, fella. Take it easy.
You got it.
He's the man, dude.
I love him. He fits in awesome. I got to tell you, I think we might have to kind of expand this conversation a bit. Like, when a former player who's in the booth is talking about energy level in week one?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that big of a deal.
I mean, that's what he said.
No, I know. I'm just saying it is week one. You know, the central preseason. We could expand the conversation. We come back into it.
Tell me week 15, if you're en route to the third overall pick, it's a little more acceptable. Week one coming off that season last year, can't be happening.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, call the number 10, Little Corn. Who wants to check him out? We'll get you there. 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Corn at Prudential Center on September 23rd. It's all from our friends at Live Nation. And to purchase tickets, if you don't win them, just visit LiveNation.com. That was some conversation with Casillas. He is absolutely fantastic. You can tell how much he loves the Giants and how much it hurts him.
Yeah.
You know, he straddles that fence of being raw and honest and still hopeful, which I appreciate. And he's not alone. I mean, you listen to Lawrence Taylor. You listen to Matty Carl. I thought Carl had an incredible on his podcast. I forget the exact name of the podcast. He was just like, basically, very raw, more raw than Carl usually is.
Okay, what'd he say?
Basically encapsulating how toothless and heartless. He didn't use those words.
Right.
I'm just trying to move on here.
Okay.
Just was very, very raw and blunt in his assessment of how the Giants played. And it just seems like when the legends weigh in with that kind of energy, it just seems maybe even bigger than it feels.
I've always found it funny when teams get sensitive to this stuff. Like, you even heard Jonathan be like, you know, I don't want to tick anybody off over there. He's doing the Giants radio, so I understand it. But it's not our fault. We didn't play like that. You did. You did. Go out there and play well, and we'll talk about you in a positive way.
We'd love to.
Are you
going to
get mad at us because we're ripping the Giants, or Casillas comes on and
talks? Somebody mad at us?
No, I'm just saying in general. And
we got problems already?
I'm not even saying the Giants. I'm just saying, like, in general, there's default, like, you don't want to go too hard and criticize. I'm like, hey, you are the ones, whether it's the Mets for years, you're the ones, or Cashman of the Yankees, you haven't been to a World Series in 15 years. That's the reason why we're upset. The Giants, you come out week one at home, celebrating 100 years. I don't care what you're wearing, you know, the uniforms people get on. I care about how you look. Why are you wearing those uniforms? And they go out there and lay an egg. You couldn't be any worse than the Giants were. So the legend should criticize them because it was awful. Does it mean that Dable can't coach? No. Now they got to get it turned around, starting with Washington in week two. But there's a lot of different areas. I mean, they got embarrassed in week one. You call it how it is. What do you think? You'd come on the air and be like, well, you know, it's just week one. No, you know, this is New York.
We would have big problems if that was. No, yeah. And I don't mean to sound like a tough guy because we're not. But right. Like, if that was the kind of interviews we're getting from whomever when things are bad, guess what? Interview's over.
It's pointless.
We're wasting our time without wasting your time. And Casillas, he's a real one.
He
and we appreciate
it.
That and we love that. By the way, though, you took a little bit of a gratuitous shot there at the Yankees. I got to defend the Yankees.
I'm saying the Mets, too. Okay.
Well, I know. You said the Mets. Yeah. But you said the Yankees. Be honest. In the last 3-4 years, who's been more vocal about Cashman than me?
Yeah, just who? No, probably nobody.
Okay.
The Yankees
actually signed off on me going in the broadcast booth.
Correct. That's what
so
I mean.
I'm saying they're not sensitive. You should give them credit.
I am. And I'm not even saying the Giants are sensitive. I'm just saying in general there's this thought like, oh, you don't want to be too harsh on the teams. It could be the Mets, too. Yeah, whether it's me for years on SNY ripping them or me here. Like, oh, you know, hey, we just call it how it is. It's not our fault. I don't run a franchise that's been to the postseason consecutive years twice in their history since 1962. Like, I'm not the bad guy.
Let me get Josh in Far Rockaway with BT and Sal. What's happening, Josh?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Okay, good. You know, before the season, I was thinking about what would actually make me happy to continue with Daniel Jones after this year. And my realization was even like 8 wins wouldn't have cut it. 9 wins, questionable. We're at the point now, he would have to be so phenomenal. I don't think it matters if you bench him at half. I don't think it matters if you bench him now. I mean, Brandon, let me ask you a question. Right now, if you can go back to the end of last year and cut him then without the contract ramifications, would you have done it as a Giants fan?
Last year?
Yeah, end of last year.
End of last year.
No contract ramifications. I like this.
Well, but that's fantasy land. No, so that means it matters.
I'm coming to a point here. I feel like now we're chasing a loss in a casino. You're down $500. You're like, you should just walk away from the table. We're only playing him now because of the contract. And if that's really true, what happens to the Dable of 2 years
ago? Well, you think that's true, Josh? It might be partially true. But you're making it seem like it's entirely true. Maybe they're playing him because, I don't know, they want a playoff game with him?
That's my point right now. What do you have to see at the end of this year? You would have to see really 9-10 wins and a playoff win in order for them to continue with
Josh,
Daniel Jones, in my opinion.
No, listen, I love the call, and I get it. I get the confusion, the anger. I'm with you. And I understand a lot of Giant fans are expired in terms of, you know, how willing they are to just roll with Daniel Jones. Let me be a little more clear than I thought it was abundantly clear. First two sentences I said today spelled it out. I'm not worried about next year. If Daniel Jones is gone next year, I couldn't care less. I don't think he's going to be Eli or Phil or Hostetler. He's not that guy. He's going to be gone before the Giants get back to a Super Bowl. You can book that. What I'm saying is for now and for the Commanders game and for the game after that and even into early October, I'm going to let him play. I'm going to let him learn. I'm going to give him the room to at least learn how to trust his knee again, for the coaches to, you know, devise some things with new players, new personnel, both weapons and interior linemen. And if it doesn't fix, then I bench him. And he doesn't play another snap the rest of the year. And then I cut him. I don't care. It's not like I'm trying to hold Daniel Jones. I don't even know. I met him once with Deke. He's a great young man. That's it. If he's gone, no skin off my back. It doesn't matter. He's not that guy. We all know that. But there could be a little bit of a middle ground that I think a lot of Giant fans are missing that.
And my only thing is that I'm trying to win football games here. Giants have to win. They have to win. They weren't even competitive against Sam Darnold and the Vikings at home celebrating the 100th year anniversary of the franchise. And now you're going into a Washington team that gets squashed by the Buccaneers in week one, but they are very dangerous with their skill set and their young quarterback. Washington has something the Giants don't, a young quarterback that could potentially be the franchise player for this team moving forward, not to mention the other weapons that they have. Giants have to win. So if Daniel Jones is not getting the job done in the first half, I am not going to worry about his feelings or worry about the contract or anything else. I am trying to win the football game. And maybe Drew Lock in that situation could be better. I don't know. We'll see what Dable does. But for me, if he's playing as poorly as he did in week one, I'm looking to make a change because I'm trying to do anything I can to win that game on Sunday.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. We'll get to the crown coming up next. Top story of the day, 888-808-1019. Back to you, calls as well. Mostly Giant stuff. Casillas was awesome. I mean, awesome. I know you guys want to react to that. Obviously, the Daniel Jones stuff. Week two, must-win Commanders. So, we go into our office, have a little fun, setting up the show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we agreed on, some things we didn't. We had to do a little, you know, extra revision. Maybe place this here, place that there, whatever. And my guy was a little agitated at something with the Yankees. I heard it. I said, stop, save it, tell me on the air. So tell me on the air.
Yeah, and forget about the win. To me, that's not that it's meaningless,
that's
but
not
whatever.
Meaningless.
Okay, great.
It's a good win.
Yeah, well, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
I mean, they look like crap
again.
Dude,
they won the game. Stop.
Yeah, they won the game.
They
congratulations.
Won the series.
They watched four games. Oh, yeah, they won the series. Yeah, once again, Juan Soto masking their foot. Clay Holmes blew another game.
How was pitching?
Not good.
How was
Clay Holmes?
How was pitching?
I mean, starting pitching,
how's
whatever.
Pitching?
It's fine.
Did they win?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Luis Hill, I don't think look great.
At least be fair.
Yeah,
they won the series and they won the game.
So what? I don't understand.
So what?
So you think that's a big deal?
It's September 12th. I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, September 12th.
Well, put it this way. It's not nothing.
They couldn't score a run in Chicago.
Did they win?
The offense wasn't good yet. Yo, right, they won.
So that would be like me getting, I know we're getting derailed here, but I didn't think you were going to say that. Yeah. That would be like me getting on the air saying, oh, the Mets win doesn't mean anything yesterday. They were no hit for nine innings. They won the game.
It's different.
How is it different?
The way that the Mets came back and won was different.
Yankees came back.
I said that I understand the win is important. I still think the Yankees overall looked like crap.
That's a different thing.
And here's another thing. The Mets have the best record in baseball since the end of May.
That, but you can't get on the air and say the Yankee. You can't say the Yankee win means nothing when it's a pennant race.
Yeah, okay.
And it puts you a game and a half up on the O's. Yeah, that makes no sense.
They backed into a win. It was congratulations. Backed into a win where they took extra innings. It took a Soto bomb, which again Soto and Judge have been masking a lot of the Yankees' flaws. Clay Holmes blew another one. Offense again inconsistent, but they won the game. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yet again, they won.
Well, do you think you feel better about the team because they won the game?
I liked it. The fact they got a little breathing room.
Yeah,
I've always said they're both perfect.
It's better to win than lose.
Well, but according to you, it doesn't mean anything. So is it better to win than lose the way you said that? I was genuinely taken back. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
They won the series. They won the game. They're a game and a half up. There's 16 games to go. We need to win it.
I still think they are what they are. I don't think they're very good.
Well, they're going to be a playoff team. Yeah, and last night, they very well might be a division winner.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I mean, they're going to win the division. They're going to have a bye. I still don't think they're any good.
That's a different conversation.
Well, did they play a good game last night?
Did they win? I'm going to answer you directly.
Did the Jets win week one last year?
Yeah.
Okay, and what did it mean?
Well,
nothing, because they sucked.
But
the Jets sucked. No, because I was saying it from week one on last year, and Jet fans were sensitive. Oh, Sal, you don't know what you're talking about. I was right. The Jets win last year meant nothing week one. They sucked. A lot of people wanted to ignore it, but the point was, oh, yeah, that's great that they won the game, but ultimately, they're not going to be any good because they lost their quarterback. And eventually, whether it was week five, week six, whatever, everybody realized that what I said mattered, and it was right week one. Similar to the Yankees. Now, it's a lot different meaning football versus baseball, obviously.
Yeah.
But the Yankees could win this series. They could go win the next series. That's fine. They are what they are, which has been an average
team. Which is one of the best teams in baseball.
It's been an average team since Jones.
Hey, by the way, the Jets thing, and you did say that. I'll give you credit. You did say that. You're not taking bows. I got you.
My point is,
we know now, again, you were right in real time. Hear me. I'm giving you credit there. You were right last year, and we were pushing back, whatever. But it's easier to say that now when the 2023 season's over.
Right.
The Yankees, we don't know what's going to happen. So for you to say that it doesn't mean anything to me makes no sense.
I don't mean literally that the win doesn't mean anything, especially when you're trying to win a division. I'm saying that I have not changed my opinion on the Yankees based off of their win last night. I still looked at them last night in a game where... They showed many, many flaws. Soto's bomb obviously helped alleviate
some
of that. Starting
pitching helped
as
well. But
there's still some issues. Yeah, well, Luis Hill, I like Luis Hill. I think he's good.
Second straight good game.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, they're going to maybe win because of their pitching, just like they did earlier on in the year. I just like the idea with the Jazz walk-up. The game was over by that point. Once the Yankees were able to get through that inning, Weaver was good. There were some good signs from the game.
Tighten up a little bit.
I just still look at the team as not being that good. Now, does that mean that they can't win? Absolutely not. They have as good a chance as anybody. Because they're going to be in the postseason, but like
crazy thing is, yeah, this isn't even what we were going to say. This isn't even what we were going to disagree on. That's hysterical.
Here's what bothers me.
It's
what the Yankees say and then do.
Okay.
Why? What was the number one reason the Yankees said they didn't want to bring Dominguez up months ago or weeks ago, whatever it was?
Because they said if they weren't prepared to play him every day, they didn't want to stunt his development, blah, blah, blah.
And then 3 games in, he's not playing. It doesn't make any sense. Is it a big deal? Do I need to see Dominguez in there every day? No. But then why couldn't you just do what you're doing now, meaning rotate guys, whether it's Verdugo out, Stanton out, DH this, DH that, and have Dominguez out one day? Why couldn't you do that then weeks ago? They said, and I sat here like a sucker and believed them and took them at their word, that Dominguez wasn't up here because they couldn't figure out a way for him to play every day. Then they bring him up here, and the third game that he's up here, he's on the bench. They talk out of both sides of their mouth, and it is tiresome. I've had it with the Yankees. You can't take anything they say seriously. What does it mean? Ultimately, nothing. But you just can't trust a word that comes out of Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman's mouth. End of story.
Okay, so I don't hang on words. This goes back to the Holmes. Like,
I'm wrong for doing it. You're right. I'm wrong for doing it.
Yeah, maybe that's a new thing. You know. So what was the phrase that Boone said? No, but he didn't say bullpen by committee.
Creative. Get creative.
Yes, we're going to get creative. And guess what? The first chance that they had with a lead, after he said they're going to get creative, guess who wasn't on the mound? Clay Holmes.
Right.
Okay. So I react less to that and whatever. But, dude, you're really overreacting. I'm now, you just, what are you doing?
But don't you think
when did they call them up? Question.
A couple days ago.
What day?
I don't remember. Whatever day it was.
I got you. Yeah. We got a lot going on. They called him up Monday.
Okay.
Did he play Monday?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
And Tuesday he played.
Yes. Did he play Tuesday? The answer is
so
yes.
So not Wednesday. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I got you.
Right.
So Wednesday, they faced a lefty. He did not play, which is obviously much to your chagrin.
Right.
And their Criswell for the Red Sox is pitching tonight, who is a righty. Do you think he'll play tonight?
Yeah.
I do. Okay.
Yeah, I would assume he's going to be in there tonight. I mean, I hope.
Well,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So we come in tomorrow, primarily a heavy football day tomorrow.
I should be intriguing to see who is out tonight.
Because
Verdugo's been going pretty well.
I think that's...
right. That's what I mean. Is it going to be Stanton? Or are they going to give Judge a blow?
As long as Wells and Dominguez are in there, I don't really care about the other stuff. Now, tomorrow, mostly football. But if we're sitting here saying, Jace, you call them up and you throw a righty in there.
I mean, if he doesn't play tonight.
He's going to, which is my point. So they call them up. He's going to wind up playing 3 of the first 4 games. What's the problem?
Because they said they wanted them to play every day.
He basically is.
The basically is not playing every day. And it's the third game.
This
is the third day he's been up here. I'm actually in favor then of your argument. Because I was the one defending them saying, he doesn't need to be here yet. Doesn't need to be here yet.
Yeah.
You wanted them here weeks ago saying this
exact
thing.
Even if he didn't play. And I'm fine with it.
That's
so I'm consistent.
But then,
it was a lefty. Wells didn't start. I got no problem with that.
Why wasn't he up here then weeks ago?
Well, that I can't answer.
All right, but then they were wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he needed more seasoning. He didn't play much baseball in 2 years,
I was siding with them saying that, okay, this is the reason he needs to play. And then they bring him up here 3 days and he's sitting on the bench. They make no sense. I was wrong for listening to Boone and Cashman. Sorry.
Man.
That's it. I needed to get that off
my
chest.
That is the funniest thing. The volume of that exchange, that debate, right, that conversation. We didn't even know we were going there. I actually thought it was the Dominguez thing.
And it wound up being
the meaningless win that the Yankees had in the middle of a pennant race, according to my buddy Sal. Oh, man. 888-808-1019. It is BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata. Coming up, the crowd. Top story next on The Fan.